Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So a few years ago, I was having some pretty bad back pain, and I did what a lot of us do to take care of it. I ignored it for months, and then I started. I was like, okay, I'll do some stretches, maybe do some of the yoga stuff. And that helped a little bit. I got a Theragun. Any fans of the Theragun? Yeah, pretty awesome, pretty great. Helped a little bit more, but this pain went on for about a year. And it felt a little different. So I ended up going to see a chiropractor. You know, eventually gave in, and I went to this chiropractor, had an initial consult, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, you've got a little bit of a curve in your spine." We talked about, you know, the years that I played football and how that can impact your neck and your back, and and he said, let's order an x-ray." And so had an x-ray done across the street. You know, come back a week or two later, and we're looking at the x-ray together, and he asks, "How old are you?" And I'm like, "You should know that. I did the 50 pages of paperwork in the waiting room right before this." I said, "I'm 35. He said, "Okay, so what we see here is about the spine of a 50-year-old. Now, if you're 50, yeah. there's nothing wrong with being 50. But when you're 35 at the time and you have the spine of a 50-year-old and you're told that, it's tough to hear." And then he said, "Yeah, you've got the spine of a 50-year-old. I'd say the best thing you can do for your back is to get skinny." And I was like, ooh, shots fired, double whammy. I said, "Thank you so much for that prognosis, Dr. Dan." Really grateful for that. Never heard of this institution that you went to on the wall here, but I bet they do great things. And so I'm giving him a hard time. He's giving me a hard time. And if you know me, that's how you become friends with me. So we've become friends, me and Dr. Dan. He was actually texting me the other day. At the time, he had just left his church. And so every time I would come in, he would, you know, we would talk about God and faith. And I would, you know, come in for my adjustments. And we start working together. And over the course of a year, you know, I'm seeing him every week, then every other week, then every third week. And now I see him once a month for maintenance. And my back feels really good. I'm pretty much pain-free. And I don't know how it works. It's a bit of a mystery to me, but I feel better, and I'm grateful, and, you know, Dr. Dan is great. Dr. Dan is awesome. Now, if you're a chiropractor, if you're 50 or a chiropractor, we love you, and I genuinely am grateful for your profession. My uncle's a chiropractor. I'm sorry to make light of it, but what I've learned through going to the chiropractor is it is a process. And you often feel worse before you start to feel better. You know, you can't just snap your fingers and the pain is gone. It takes time and it takes trust. You have to really trust this person. And faith is the same way, right? It's like going to the chiropractor. It's a process, which is tough for us. Because the world that we live in, the world we operate in, is one of instant gratification, right? We do the one-day shipping on Amazon Prime. You ever done that? And it's like 2 to 6 p.m. or 6 to 10 p.m. And you're like, well, I'm not going to wait. Like, do I need it between 2 and 6? No. But that's the earliest one, so that's what I'm going to pick, right? I'm paying for the subscription. Right? We microwave our leftovers. At any point in time, we can pull out our phone, snap a picture, video, share it with the world, you know, share that moment with the world while that moment is happening. And this has conditioned us to be pretty impatient. And I am the worst. I am the most impatient person. Was Paul say, we're all sinners, of which I'm the worst? That's how I feel about impatience. Every time I go see Dr. Dan, he hooks me up for spinal decompression. Has anyone ever done spinal decompression? Quick straw poll. Great. You're all under the age of 50, except for me. And so I go do this. It's this, basically what they did is they took that ancient torture device, the rack, and they now charge you $40 to get on that thing. And they strap you into this, they strap your pelvis in, you hold onto this thing with your chest, and it just slowly pulls your pelvis away from your chest. And that expansion in your spine allows for water in your body to rush into your discs and your back, and you leave like you're standing way straighter and you feel a lot better. They're also doing it for the neck, which I haven't done yet, but I'm sure it's on my list for my 51st birthday next year. I'm very excited about that. But I do this, I get hooked up to this machine, and it takes about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, and it's 14 rounds. It's 105 pounds of pressure that slowly pulls my pelvis away from my chest, and then it slowly goes back in. And it does this for 14 rounds, takes half an hour, and every time that I'm convinced I'm done, because I'm like challenging myself, I don't do headphones, I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm trying to just take it as like a meditative exercise. Every time I'm like, okay, I think we're wrapping up, I look up at the screen on the machine, and it's like, you're not even halfway done. Like it feels, it's agonizing, not so much for my back, but for my mind, to have no control and be hooked up to this machine for half an hour at the mercy of this machine. But you have to trust the process. And it is a process. In our story this morning, the angel Gabriel visits Mary, this young woman in this nowhere town, and calls her favored. It's the first thing he says. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. You know, how many of us need to pause and just hear that this morning? That what the angel says to Mary, God says to all of us. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. And then he goes on. He announces that she will conceive by the Holy Spirit a son who will also be God's son, and she is to name him Jesus. She doesn't get to pick the name. And this son of God and Mary is going to reign forever, is what she's told. And what does Mary do in this moment? How does she respond? Well, at first we're told, Luke tells us that she's a bit confused, which I love that that's included. Verse 29, but she was much perplexed by his words, or as it says in the message, she was thoroughly shaken. As it says in some other translations, she was greatly troubled by what he said. So it starts with this raw human emotion of confusion. She doesn't know what's happening. And then in verse 34, she has questions for the angel. How can this be since I am a virgin? How is this going to work, right? It's a very good question for what Gabriel is telling her. And then finally, in the end, in verse 38, Mary understands what is paradoxically ununderstandable as she sees possibility in the impossible. And she says, here I am. Just like the prophet Isaiah long before her, here I am, send me. Here I am, let it be with me according to your word. And I love Mary's process. You know, we as the church often quote the third thing that she does, the third thing that she says, right? Let it be with me according to your word. That's what the Beatles like to quote, right? But we kind of ignore those first two things in the church. We make Mary out to be a jukebox, ready to sing her Magnificat tune as soon as Gabriel shows up with a quarter. But that's not what happens in this moment. I love the story because Mary's faith, while it's real and admirable and epic, her willingness is not automatic. It's not this blind openness, this blind acceptance. It starts with confusion. And then there's questioning. And through this process of faith, she's transformed. Transformed from confusion to confidence, from peasant girl to prophet, to Mary the young virgin, to Mary, mother of God, who sings this Magnificat tune. Debbie Thomas writes of this moment that Mary's yes doesn't signal the end of mystery, but the beginning. Because at the end of this interaction, the angel departs from her. And she's left alone all through this pregnancy. People talking about her, wondering what's going on with her. Do they believe her story? Does she believe the story? Is she convinced that she didn't make this up in her mind? Right? That she's not going crazy? But I think that this is good news for us this morning, that this story kind of ends with this mystery, that embedded in the story is some doubt and some questions and some confusion and perplexion. That mystery is a part of Mary's faith. I think it's especially good news for us this morning for those of us who are new to faith. One of the things I hear a lot from people who come to church for the first time or first time in a long time is I just feel really insecure with the Bible. You know, I haven't spent a lot of time with it, or I don't know much about theology or church history, or I'm not even sure I know how to pray. But faith is a process. It doesn't start with "let it be with me according to your word." And Advent is a process too. Right? We rush, but the season of Advent slows us down. You know, we light candles on the Advent wreath slowly, right? Week by week, we light an additional candle. You know, last Sunday at the 11 a.m. service, if you remember, one of the first things I had to do was extinguish one of the candles, right? Our couple of our young adults who are amazing, and we're grateful that y'all serve, please keep serving, and who shall remain nameless, came up and lit four of the candles on the third week in Advent. So the first thing I did when I got up was, "Welcome to the third Sunday in Advent," and I extinguished one of the candles, right? That's what Advent does, though. It slows us down, right? We are ready for God to show up in Christ. We're tired and exhausted from our world's brokenness, tired and exhausted from our own brokenness. And we want to hurry and rush with the holiday hustle and bustle and light all the candles, including the Christ candle, the Christmas candle. But Advent slows us down. Advent pushes us into this process of faith. And if Mary's faith teaches us anything, it's that even in the confusion, even in the unknowing, the questioning, there's this trust underneath it. And like Mary, we're not called to have it all figured out, but we are called to trust that God is at work, even mysteriously, in ways that we don't comprehend or even don't yet comprehend, even when the timeline is unclear, even when the how is unclear, even when our chiropractor says you have the spine of a 50-year-old and you're only 35. And you take it personally. We're called to trust in this process, this faith that things can get better, that things will get better. And here's the really good news for us this morning. All of this is made possible our process of faith, Mary's process of accepting the news of the Annunciation, the process of Advent, all of it is made possible with God. And the angel says it, reminds her of it in verse 37, nothing will be impossible without God. It's the same words that are spoken to Sarah and Abraham back in Genesis. Even Mary's process of faith in the Annunciation is something that is made possible with God. She doesn't do it on her own. Right? God helps her. And as the angel reminds her, God is with her. And so God is with all of us in these remaining days of Advent. Pray with me. God, we give you thanks for the process of faith, the process of church, the process of coming to your table, to your Advent wreath each week in this season, to wait, to practice this unhurried trust, this unhurried preparation, unhurried joy, and unhurried love. We pray that you would continue to be with us in these remaining days, that even in our doubts, even in our confusion, even in our questioning, may we trust that you are still at work and that you are still with us. Amen.